Hi, welcome back to the Mandarin Blueprint Podcast, episode 163. Luke here. So I'm going to jump straight into it because we've got a ton of interesting questions about Chinese today. You know, these podcasts are kind of a bit of a mixed bag. We don't know what we're going to get each week because it all depends on what questions we get from our members. By the way, if you're not a member of the Mandarin Blueprint Method and you have even the vague inkling of wanting to be awesome at Chinese one day, I highly suggest you go to mandarinblueprint.com and sign up for a 14-day trial. I'm incredibly biased, obviously, but I don't know of any single resource that will get you to essentially native level of understanding of Chinese. So if you're actually serious about becoming really good at Chinese one day, which is absolutely possible in a year or two, and we're talking like reading native material, understanding native material, speaking Chinese fluently, and which level of fluency depends on you, how much speaking practice you put in, but it's largely down to the amount of input as well that you get through our course. So, you know, if you're serious about becoming really good at Chinese one day, there's nothing better for you than Mandarin Blueprint. If you're just sort of like, oh, I want to go and just learn a few phrases and maybe I want to go to China once or something like that, then maybe Mandarin Blueprint's not for you. But if you want a lifelong skill and you want to literally make people's jaws drop with what you can do, then check it out. Let's jump into the first comment because we've got a lot of just Chinese questions and I want to get to them. And I really like these questions, but they do take some time. So I want to make sure that I get through them all. So first here is Robert on yue in context. So this is the point of the course. So essentially, if you're not familiar with how the course works, we teach you step by step from the very, very basics, just like individual character components. We teach you how to read and understand the language because, like I said, that's where the vast majority of your results will come from, your comprehensible input, listening and reading of the language, similar to how you learn your native language, right? So every time we teach you a new character or word, you'll see that in context. And that context is essentially just sentences. But the key difference is that they're made of words and characters that we know you already know. So you can actually just get that comprehensible input really early, like crazy early compared to what you would normally, right? So this is a lesson called in context where, oh, you've just unlocked this character or this word. Here are some sentences, at least one sentence for every single usage. You know, different characters and words have more often than not, have multiple usages. So Robert just asks, can you help by giving an example of the different ways we would use 左右 to mean approximately and yue to mean approximately? Is the first one for positional context while the second one is for mathematical context, or are they interchangeable when they mean approximately? That's such a good question. And yue is, first of all, yue is incredibly formal and it's short for da yue. And it is used in like more of a formal, I wouldn't say incredibly formal, but it is formal. It's definitely in the formal territory. You wouldn't use it in just a normal conversation. You might use it in a speech and you definitely see it written as well. You just see that character by itself, yue, and then you see a number after it. Or usually it's numbers. Zuoyou is also about numbers as well, but it comes afterwards and it's very colloquial. So let's have a look. So yeah, zuoyou. By the way, to do all these, I just go straight to Pleco or Plico after 10 years or whatever. I still don't know how to say it. I like Pleco. I should just choose one, shouldn't I? So Pleco. Go to Pleco, search for the word, and this is what I've done. I just like copied and pasted using my amazing iPhone. And can you see my phone case there? It's my kid. It's my kid and my wife and me lifting up a car. It's awesome, isn't it? It's a Father's Day present. So I just go there, I just search the word, I copy and paste, and that's basically what you should do. Especially once you get to the level where you can, you know, you're where you are, Robert, is what I want you to do, and also just anyone on the course or anyone in general learning Chinese, try and figure out on your own first. Not that we don't love answering these questions. I do. I love geeking out on words and stuff like this, but just because I know that's best for you long term, right? And so go and check these out on Pleco first. Just read the first, and you'll always get it if you read example sentences. But it's also nice. I get it. It's also nice to get a quick quick and dirty answer. It's like, okay, what is it? When is it used? Sort of, you skip ahead without having to sort of go through the natural acquisition path, you know, just reading and understanding sentences until it clicks. Sometimes getting explanations like the one I'm about to give you, or I am giving you, kind of gets you a little jump ahead and does feel good. So either way, it's cool with me. I'm just saying, it's a good idea to develop that habit as well for you guys out there learning Chinese, just to, oh, what's that? Curiosity, and try and figure it out on your own just by looking at example sentences. Just definitions alone is not going to do it, okay? In most circumstances, if it is going to do it, then the word's probably easy enough where you don't need to look it up anyway in the first place, all right? So, yeah, so here's just some example sentences. So, 左右, about or so, after a numeral of some kind. So, 八点左右, so roughly around 8 o'clock. Always comes afterwards. 身高, that's height. 身高, 一米七左右, roughly 1 meter and 70. That's how the Chinese do height. They don't do feet, they do meters. And so that's it. That's pretty much how you do it. And then 约, it's used in many different ways in several very common words as well, rather common words. But like it's formally, but often it's used to, the most common one for 约 is to make an appointment. This is actually spoken. This is very colloquial in this particular usage. So you just say 我们约好下星期一碰头. So 碰头 is just like a cool way of saying to meet. So literally like bump head. Right, 约好, so just 约, or you could just say 我约他吃饭. I made a date with him or her to eat, to have a meal. 我约他, it's that simple. It's really common as well, and it's it doesn't have to be like romantic, by the way. It could be used either way. 约会 is usually more romantic, and then we have, so that's just how that one's used. To ask or invite in advance, this is more formal. 请约他来, okay? It's basically the same thing, isn't it? But yeah, it can be used in both a formal and informal context, I suppose. And then this is the one that we were talking about, right, before. This is the one that means approximately about. 约五十人, right? Now, you would not say this again in conversation. Again, it's short for 大约, so you would see that in writing. And there's a fourth one here that I thought I'd just add in. 有约在先, so it's have a previous engagement. So that's like extremely formal. That's like you might put out in a letter or an email in a business situation. And then I thought I'd just add this as well because, you know, 左右 is also it's incredibly common. You use it all the time. But it's also more about numbers, you know. But if you want a much more general, much more common, 广泛, 广泛 is like broad usage of this term that you can use in sort of everyday speech, you would say 大概. And 大概 is a magical word. It's kind of like can be used in all sorts of different situations. There you go. So number one, generally or briefly. 我大概跟他说了说. I told him briefly. 说了说, so that double 说了说. Mean is kind of like making it softer. You've probably heard of that a lot by now if you've been learning Chinese a little while. 我大概跟他说了说, I told him roughly, I told him briefly in a short manner. And this one is a very common one. 会议, meeting, 大概要延期, probably. So it's like it replaces 可能, all right? And then this is one, 我只, oh, this is like a, this is like one I've heard rarely, but it is also used as a noun as well. 我只知道个大概, I just know the general idea. I have a 大概, I have a rough idea of it, right? So, and you can just use it like roughly 3 weeks. 大概三个星期吧. Yeah, like so, just use 大概 a lot. So I hope that helped. All right, next we have Mirko. On 长得, which means to look like, and he says, "Hi, Luke and Phil, I have a question regarding this sentence. 那怎样可以让一个人长得越来越好看呢?" This is from one of our long articles or dialogues. You'll unlock this whole thing where you can understand everything you're reading and listening to with native audio. It's really cool. Again, it's like the course works, characters, words, sentences, then long form content. And before you know it, after just learning 100 characters, you're reading and understanding Chinese. Now, if you want to learn how to read Chinese and understand Chinese so that you can eventually speak it fluently and impress the heck out of people, well, head to mandarinblueprint.com and start a free trial. So The question is, the good news, I understand what it means after I read it twice. Yeah, sometimes it takes a few times. The bad news, I do not understand why 一个人 comes after the verb 让. Ah, would it be wrong to say, 那怎样可以一个人让长得越来越好看呢? No. So, no, that wouldn't work. So when it comes, so let me read the first sentence, the sentence from our course. 那怎样可以让? Now, how could you make, 让 in this case means to make someone. 怎样可以让一个人长得越来越好看呢? So how can you make a person look better and better? All right, 一个人 in this case, when it's used after the verb, so 让一个人, so it means make a person and then you do something, right? But if it's used before, so if I said, 那怎样可以一个人让他越来越好看呢? So if I did that, I switched it around. When you say 一个人 in that context, when it comes before the verb, it means on your own. So how can I make her or him look better and better on my own? 我怎样可以一个人让他... You know, so that's the only difference there. So I hope that cleared things up. Let's move on to Mackay Albert here on 明天见. So he says, 我们俩约好了明天见. So again, that 约好, that's actually the second time coming up today. And he says, what's the 好 doing in there? So 好 has a few different definitions, different usages, but it's used in this case after a verb to mean done in a satisfactory way, finishing or finishing satisfactorily. Right? So again, just pasted from the first page of Pleco. Here's some example sentences, and it should sort of clear up for you very quickly. 我把他的病治好了. I took his sickness and I cured it. So 治好了. So it's completed and, of course, satisfactorily because he's now better, right? And the next one here, 这件事他做不好. So he can't do this job well. So 做好了. So if I said, 那个你做了吗? 你的工作做完了吗? 做好了吗? You know, I'll be like, yes, 做好. 做好了. So yes, it's done and it's done satisfactorily, it's finished. But in this case, he's saying 做不好. So he can't finish it, and certainly not in a satisfactory way. Right? So it gives that sort of... So if he said 做不了, right, with the L, the alternative pronunciation of L, then it would be like he literally has not, he doesn't have the capability of doing it. But if he said 这件事他做不好. You're saying he won't be able to do it well. He's not able to do it well. And the third one here, 做好吧. So again, be careful with the defining where one word begins and another word ends here. So it's not saying 做好吧, like would you mind doing? It's saying 做好吧. So 做好吧. So saying 做好 is to sit properly, sit well, sit comfortably in a satisfactory manner. You're all sat down. Okay, good. You are 做好. You have now sat down successfully and satisfactorily. 要开会了. Yeah, that was terrible. 开会了. Awesome. So that is how you use that one. Next, yeah, so Mackay actually sent in three questions this week. They're really good questions that are worth talking about, you know, about Chinese. So that was the first one. Let's do the next one here. What do you like to do? This is, again, another long-form piece of content that you unlock that you can read and understand. So he asks, what is 呢 doing in the sentence? 我认识好多呢. So that's basically saying, I am familiar with or I know a lot of them. Right, I don't know what it's actually referring to, a lot of what, but a lot of something. So it's a great question. Like, what is that 呢 doing? Because there's a bunch of different usages of 呢. I'm going to go through them here. He says, as I understood it before, it was implying a rhetorical question, inquisitiveness for yes, no questions. That's right. Softening the tone, yes, or indicating present tense, as in like something, or continuous rather. But this instance doesn't quite feel like it fits my prior concepts of 呢. Maybe it's the fourth instance. Well, you are right to be sort of hesitating about this one, because it is kind of an extra separate usage of ne, a bit more advanced. So let's get into it. So again, okay, just copied and pasted it straight from Pleco. If I have a real one that's like a head scratcher, I'll go to Yol Dao. Yol Dao is a Chinese dictionary for Chinese people, but usually Pleco solves most issues. I use Pleco every single day still. And if it's something that I not only is high level, like quite difficult, but I'm genuinely interested in, I want to figure out what more about it, I use Baidu.cn, or I think you can access it just Baidu.com. I don't know. But that's where you get your Chinese, you really sort of dive into it. So here are the definitions from the dictionary. I'll just read them straight out. So first, ne, at the end of a special, alternative, or rhetorical question, as Makai mentioned. So, 你刚才到哪儿去了呢? Where were you just now? Yeah, so where were you just now? It's also a great way, and when you're asking these questions that are very direct, it's a great way of softening them a little bit. But it can also add a bit of sarcasm, I guess is the word for it. Just like, so where were you? 你去哪儿呢? Okay, 你去哪儿呢? You know, sort of like kind of the way that your wife might ask you where you've been when you shouldn't have been somewhere, right? And another example is this, 你对这件事是赞成呢还是反对呢? All right, so are you for or against this? Now, if you just ask this, like, 赞成的还是反对? Right, it's kind of like a bit harsh, right? But if you're asking someone a direct question, add ne, makes it softer, easier for them to answer, a bit more polite. So number two, end of a declarative sentence to reinforce the assertion. Wow, that's a mouthful. It's basically saying, I'm 100% sure about this fact that I'm telling you right now. So here's an example sentence, 远得很. Right, so really far, 有好几千里地呢, right, so it has many thousands of 里地, like these of kilometers away, right? Another one I really like for this is like a 多着呢, like a lot, like 多着呢, right? So saying I know a lot, I know what I'm talking about kind of thing. So that is actually the one that you're referring to. 我认识好多呢, right? I know loads of them, whatever that is. Right, that's actually the one we're looking at, I think. And then there's a couple, one more here, used to mark a pause. Okay, 不下雨呢就去，下雨呢就不去. Right, so this way, then that way. So just pausing in between. So it's actually a really good way because you need when you're speaking, right? You want to create as many opportunities to sort of have a break during your speaking as possible when speaking Chinese, so you get a chance to gather your thoughts and. It's a great little hack to come up with these little filler words, right? So 呢, or 就是那个这个就是呢呢, you know, like adding these little sounds in there, so it gives you an extra chance just to like think of what to say and sound cooler, but also sound more native as well, because that's what native people do. So there's a second one here, 如今呢, right, so that's a really common one, starting that. 我呢, yeah, it gives you a little chance to pause, right, before you say something else. So that's a really cool one, really very, I say cool a lot, don't know, because my English vocabulary sucks. so yeah, go ahead and use that one. I hope that helped. Next here is Collier. On how does what adverbs of degree. So she says, I learned you know nothing, Jon Snow, as 你什么都不知道, Jon Snow. Seems like a variation of sentence eight. So yeah, that's actually, if I remember correctly, that's actually how it is said as well, pretty much exactly in the books. I'm almost at the end of book four in Game of Thrones now, and I'm getting to the point where I read all five books in English, but I didn't read the last couple properly. And the reason is because back then was like when season two was just being released, and I said to myself, I'm going to read all the books before I watch the next season. And so I read them really quickly, like the last couple of books, just like smashed through them. And but now I'm going through them and I'm reading them in Chinese and I'm almost at the end of book four and I'm now at the point where I'm like, I have no idea what happens in the books at this stage. Great. So it's really exciting to read it. So my goal is to, before he brings out the next book, if he ever does, I'll be done with them. I'm ready for it in Chinese. I might read it in English first, though. Yeah, probably will do that. Next is, and I recommend that you do that. You find, read Chinese books. They're fantastic. There's loads of fantastic books in Chinese, of course, native material. It's actually better in most situations. But the Game of Thrones is an example of something I'm personally interested in, and it's very, very well translated. It's the same guy, I believe, that translated, that wrote Santi, which is it's not my cup of tea, but it's a very, very famous book. Our series of books in China. So it's a very talented sci-fi writer, this guy. So we've got Elizabeth. She just says, "Hi, Luke, I'm very eager to learn. You really motivate me." Elizabeth Mimo, from Southern Africa, Botswana. Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. You motivate me too when you write stuff like that. Awesome. Next is Brian on word structure, right? Word structure is something that's really fascinating, but it is, yeah, if you're just starting out, it's a little bit complicated. So he just says, "Woo, I imagine this will be a useful resource in the future, but at this stage, it's overwhelming and just too much, too fast to absorb in one sitting. I'm looking forward, though, to the day when I go back over this and it illuminates all that I've learned so far." Yeah, so that's another thing that we teach in the course. The course isn't just about learning Chinese, we also love teaching you about Chinese, like how it works, and that can often help to connect to it more. So like there are 8 different word types, that's it, in Chinese, like compound words. And we just go through them and teach them all, and that's a good way. So you can actually, when you learn a new word, you're like, "Oh, that's one of those words, it's an affixed, or it's a biased, or it's a parallel," or all these different names for them. And it can help deepen your connection and make it easy to remember them. So yeah, Brian, keep an eye out for it. You don't have to like really learn everything about this word structure stuff, but maybe go back over it in a few weeks' time and see if you can figure out or guess what word structure new words are. It's quite fun. Next is Joe. He says, "Out of all the videos at this stage, I find the level review videos the most helpful and motivating." Yeah, well, we liked making those a lot, actually. We should make more of those. We just, at the end of every level, there's going to be 88 levels now. Once the expansion is completed, eventually there'll be 100 levels. But we're going to not bother with the last 12 until a little bit later on. But we will add those in eventually, get you to 3,600 characters. Which is more than you'll ever need, right, pretty much. So he just says, so at the end of every level, we'll send emails that Phil wrote that are very motivating, and they talk specifically about what you've learned in each level and the new concepts that you're ready to learn about on a deeper level. It's really cool. Joel says, "I usually have trouble keeping up with new hobbies, but I'm very happy to say that I've completed the entire pronunciation mastery course. It took me 3 weeks with 1 to 2 hours per day for lessons and flashcards. What kept me going was a constant sense of progress and excitement for what I can learn next. Looking forward to learning characters and components. Thank you so much for this course. P.S. Shout out to Annie for her reviews after each small section are awesome." Yeah, well done, Annie. I always send her, whenever anyone compliments her, I always send her screenshots on WeChat, and she's very happy about it. She's very proud of her part of this course. So, and she's a great addition to it. So yeah, and thank you very much, Joel, for that. And I'm glad that, I think habits, there's a lot of things. I'm not exactly the expert on habits. I'm no Dave Goggins or something like that. But I think it's very easy to keep a habit when what you're doing is showing clear results day to day. That's why it's, and it can be tough when you get to a bit of a higher level. That's why flashcards are so important, I think. Or setting goals that are a bit different. So when you're a beginner, it's great because you get so many quick wins. Like, I just learned that character. I just learned 10 characters. I just learned 100 characters in like 2 days using this method, which is possible, by the way. 100% possible. 100 characters a day is possible if you invest enough time. So yeah, you get those quick wins. But when you get into sort of the intermediate stage, those wins get a little bit less, but they get bigger. Oh my God, I can read an entire story and then I can shadow it with good, decent pronunciation. That's like some of the stuff that you can do as well. But then when you get to sort of upper intermediate, yeah, they become less. So you have to rely on other wins. So your flashcard reviews, they become a win in themselves. It's a great way of sort of getting that immediate feedback every single day, which you don't always get. It's like, So that's very important. But it's also another key thing is like you set goals for yourself. So I'm going to watch one episode of this. I'm going to listen to one podcast. I'm going to have one or two or three, whatever, lessons with the tutor this week or this day or this month. And you set these goals and that gives you that feedback. It's all about feedback. And of course, seeing the results, seeing that, huh, I couldn't say that before. Now I could, or I didn't get that before, or I just understood like five new words. Sorry, I learned five new words and I understood them immediately because of my foundation in characters from this TV show. Well, foundation of the characters from Mandarin Blueprint, but you know, I got the new words from the TV show. So yeah, good luck with the rest of the course, Joel, and keep in touch. Next is Anne on Vocab Unlocked for Dong, or Ting the Dong and Ting Bu Dong. She says, I hear you and trust that I will learn the difference between words and ideas in English and Chinese when I have more context. Yes, that is what we usually say when, because the really common question is like, what's the difference between these three or four or five words, you know, in Chinese? Like, they seem so similar because they have essentially the same English definition, but the usage is different. Obviously they're different, otherwise they wouldn't be different words. So what's the difference, right? And again, it's cool to learn it, like I've explained some stuff today, but it's also good to just read it and understand it and click naturally. But I'm like that. I also like to get a little bit of a sneak peek, what is actually the difference, and then acquire it later. Knowing the difference consciously won't help you use it that much in the moment, but it will, I think. I don't have any data or scientific studies to back this up, but I think that it will help you acquire quicker because you're consciously and subconsciously grasping the concepts, the words, right? Anyway, Anne continues, electronic context is useful, but it's a one-way monologue. Social distancing and travel limits have me hearing nearly zero real-time Mandarin Chinese and having nearly zero opportunities to interact and test my hypotheses about what word goes where and where people are truly trying to understand each other. Well, I mean, listening immersion is what you need, I think, as well. Like, I listened to a Chinese podcast, just randomly just stuck it on this morning, which I don't do enough these days. And I was like, I need to listen to some Chinese. I feel like I'm getting rusty here. Stuck it on. I think I learned five words in 45 minutes. Like, pleco, 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 you know. And these days, if you get that, if it's a well-done podcast and it's quite interesting and the people's voices are quite nice to listen to and things like that, or they're talking about a topic that intrigues you, whatever, you connect to that word in the moment. If you have a solid foundation like I do, then you can pretty much learn it without much reviewing, sometimes without any reviewing. It's just, okay, boom, that's now a part of my vocabulary. I might have to hear it a couple more times, but I'll pretty much be able to use two or three of those five straight away. So yeah, that's something that's very, very important, is listening immersion. I think you need to get into a little bit more as well. But yeah, speaking is also vital. So I did go on a search to find the difference between Dong and Mingbai. Here's an excerpt from an essay I found by Chia Chia Lin in the Paris Review. In Mandarin Chinese, the commonly used terms Dong, Mingbai, Liaojie, and Lijie can all be translated to the English understand, though which term used is related to tone, context, familiarity, and abstractness. The breakdown of the terms can be illuminating. For example, Mingbai is composed of words Ming, bright and clear, or clear, and Bai, white, so clear or bright and white, and conjures a sense of clarity. The written character for dong, contains the radical or written component that means heart, and often found in words that deal with feelings and thoughts. Li jie and liao jie both contain the word jie, untie, and the written character for jie unfolds further. If you start at the upper right and work clockwise, you can identify the pictographs knife, ox, and horn, which is the word said to have originated from cut off the ox's horn. Niu jiao jian, zuan, yeah, zuan, niu jiao jian. So yeah, I had a feeling it was like a negative connotation, which it is. So to zuan niu jiao jian is to get into, to split hairs, essentially, to sort of make, it's a trifling matter, but you're going into too much detail about it. Take unnecessary pains to study an insignificant or insoluble problem. Split hairs. Yeah, so you're you're basically, zuan is to drill into the tip of a cow's horn. I never made the connection to the character though, jie, which is really interesting. So yeah, there's a link there. You guys can go check that out. It's in the show notes here for the podcast. She gave a couple of links to our course as well. So anyway, yeah, let's go to the question. So online, I found lots of other efforts to explain differences, none very clear or ming or helpful. So we've got four words, dong, 明白, 了解, and 理解. Care to explain the difference, or does knowing the difference between them matter much? Thanks for considering. Well, it does kind of matter because it's mainly, yes, they all understand, but there's differences in how you use them, right? So what I've done here, I've just got a couple of example sentences for each. We should also mention the word 知道 as well, which I know is a really common, really easy word, low-level word. But 知道 is like the most shallow understanding of something, to know something. Like, oh, I know of this person, I've heard of his name. 我知道他, I know him. But that's like, but then we can go deeper and deeper with these words, and they sort of have different connotations as to the deepness of understanding and whether it's abstract or concrete. So 知道 is more like, more of a concrete knowledge. 明白. So yeah, for example, there's an example sentence here. 你知道三路车的路线吗? Do you know where the route of number 3 bus is? 三路车的路线 is the route. So it's like really simple, basic stuff. And then 明白 is like when it's no, but it's a bit more for slightly abstract things. It's also a bit more shen, a bit more deep version of knowing something. It's like you're not just knowing something, you're understanding it. Okay, 明白. So 老师又解释了一遍，我才明白了. I didn't understand it until he explained it again. And then we've got this one. It's a bit of a long, bit of a mouthful sentence, but I kind of liked it. So this is for 理解. Now before I get into that 理解, like 理, it's a character that you see in 心理, psychology. So it's cognition, basically, cognitive processes. And so it's really deeply understanding something. So it's often used in that way. So for example, 学习之偏重, like just really heavily biased towards, 记忆而忽视理解是不行的. So this is, I love this sentence because it's like, it talks about kind of how we teach Chinese. It's not about like just 偏重记忆而忽视理解. So like focused, really heavily biased towards just memorizing stuff without 理解 it, understanding it like down to its core. So you can also say 我理解你的意思 is a really common thing to say. Like some, like I get it basically. I think it's like the 我理解. If you say 我理解 or 我理解你的意思, right? It's like saying, I get it, bro, right? You're like, I understand exactly what you're saying to its core. I empathize with your feelings and thoughts here. But there's usually a but afterwards. Dong, I would say, like based on what I, because I did a little bit of research on this as well, obviously, but I would say that dong and 理解 are very similar. And it's like what the lady said in her article. It's like dong has the heart component. So dong is like understand to my heart here. I understand to my very core. But it's just, it's a single character word. So the pattern, the rhythm of it is different. It can't be used in all situations, which I might go into another time, but I'm not going to go into now. But it's just the poetry of Chinese, the language, the rhythm of it. It just doesn't work. And you need a double character word. So 理解 is often used. But dong is also much more colloquial. 你懂吗? 我懂。 Or 懂行, right? Is like someone who really gets their job, really gets their whatever work they're in, they're really like a dab hand at it. So 这一行他很懂, right? So this, he's an expert in this realm, 行, like 行业, is like industry realm. So he really gets this industry. So dong is a very deep level of understanding. It's like the other end of the spectrum from 知道, right? And then we've got 了解, right? So I just thought I'd go into a couple. 了解 is like, it's not quite, like, from what I understand, like it's not quite as deep as like 理解. But 了解 is like, you understand, you get the basic points. Yeah, I got it. I got this problem. I understand, but it's often used in a way of like, I understand his behavior. So even if you don't know that person, it's like, I get why he did this thing. 我理解他. I get him, or I get why he did this thing. That's why it's usually used. So 我和他是老朋友. 我很了解他. Oh, sorry, I think I used 理解 when I should have said 了解. 我很了解他, not 理解. 我很了解他, 我很了解他. Or you can say 我们互相非常了解. We understand each other very well. We've known each other a long time. But it's also 了解国内外科技发展状况. So 了解 is like, in this context, like, yeah, I understand the developments of science and technology at home and abroad, but it's more like comprehend as well. So, yeah, I recommend that, like, me explaining it again is not going to mean suddenly you'll be able to use them all perfectly, and there's probably still some things you're thinking, I don't quite know exactly when to use 理解 and 了解. That's probably the most confusing one, those two. But I hope that helped towards reaching that goal of acquiring those words. And again, just combined with that explanation, just keep getting those sentences. Keep practicing with the tutor as well. Start producing your own sentences as well. And you'll get it. You'll internalize it. All right, next is Andrew on Xiang in context. He says, this word always reminds me of Xiangang, the fragrant harbor. Yeah, Xiang is fragrant, also just tasting really good as well. Xiangang is Hong Kong, by the way, yeah. Whenever we enter a Chinese friend's house, which will inevitably involve cooking a food of some sort going on in the background, yeah, I always hear the phrase Hao Xiang repeated again and again. So this word, especially with its links to gorgeous smelling food, is always positive. Yeah, it's a super positive word. Hao Xiang. Another really cool way you can use it is I'll never forget the use of this word, because I remember I went to my wife's father's funeral, my father-in-law's funeral, and I remember I went to her village and everyone was very nervous about me being there. They were worried that I wasn't going to like the food, or I wasn't going to, because it was 3 days of like arduous stuff. I went into it in another podcast. You can search our podcast and search funerals in China. It's one of our earlier podcasts. I talked about it in detail. But there was a point where I had I was so tired and so hungry, and we finally had lunch. And I just remember I got a mantou, like a Chinese bread, and I put noodles on it and dipped it in sauce, and I took a big bite. And they were just, my brother-in-law was just so happy to see that. You know, because I did it also not just because I was hungry, because I knew that they wanted to see it as well. So he didn't want me to see that, sit there pretending I enjoyed the thing. I was like, just shoving this food in my mouth. And he was like, 哎呀，你吃的太香了，太香了。He was just so happy. He was like, you're eating so well. Now, it's not really a direct translation for it. When you 吃的很香，他吃的太香了, it means you eat with such passion that you make other people want to eat more too, right? You positively affect other people by not because you're a greedy pig and you're grossing people out, but you just like, oh, this food's so good. It's like, sit down and just be like, do you know what I fancy? Is like the light, warm glow of a brandy. And then you like swirl the brandy and you drink a bit of brandy, and someone's just like, damn, I want a brandy, you know? So that's what, how it's used. It's not used for, I don't think it's used for alcohol or drinks or anything like that, but that's just an example, bad example. But yeah, so go ahead and use that as well. My son eats very xiang, like his dad. All right, so that's actually all of the just general comments and emails that we had. And so if you're on the course, this is what you get. This is part of the service that we provide at the moment, which is, and we have done for a long time. It's a way of connecting with you and not just answering your questions, but answering your questions like this, with, you know, based on our knowledge of not just Chinese language, but Chinese culture. And we'll reply to your comments in the course platform with links to clips to these podcasts. And that's, you know, that does solves a lot of issues for you and for us, because we want to be able to connect with you. We know how lonely the road to Chinese awesomeness can be. There's a lot of bumps along that road, even with the best curriculum in the entire earth of existence. right? I know, very humble, but it's still tough. And it's good to get, you know, have a community and know that your coaches are there with you, not like just teachers telling you, go and do this thing that I never did, but you go do it. But people that have done it and have been there and done it the hard way, actually, and have designed a better way and are there to guide you through that better way. And we love doing this. I do it every couple of weeks now. Answering these questions is a highlight for both of us. And also, as a cool little side, I love saying cool, don't I? Little bonus on this is that you get to kind of become famous, because a lot of these clips, if we don't already have a video, for example, for some of these lessons, we'll just put a video clip in there of us addressing the question. So yeah, you get your name. It's called user-generated content, right? I wouldn't say very famous, but still definitely on the famous spectrum. So yeah, go ahead and check out mandarinmovement.com if you haven't already, and start a free trial if you want to become part of this thing that we're doing, this amazing thing that's helping so many thousands of people. So in the last little section of the podcast here, I just want to talk about vocab living links. So this is an actual specific part of the course that we're actually trying to build out using the podcast. Like, often it's just a nice, with the rest of the podcast, it's just a nice sort of thing. It's like, oh, we don't have a video there. Oh, great. This was a cool little clip that Luke or Phil did with this great question from whoever. Might as well put it in there until we film something specifically for that lesson. But this is where we're actually like, no, let's use these to specifically for filling out the course, because vocab living links are so interesting, and they help so many people. And some of these suggestions every week that we get are just so great. So let's start with Jay. So JA on Vocab Unlocked from Neng Li and Ke Neng. He's the Black Adder reference, Rowan Atkinson and Hugh Laurie. And the other guy that played Baldrick, which I always forget his name, but it's genius. And if you haven't seen Blackadder, you need to watch it. And it's one of my favorite TV shows. So whenever I see a reference to this, I'm very happy. Jay says, Blackadder, I have a cunning plan. And maybe this one will actually work. So cunning, right? So maybe, and a plan is good as well, because it also includes possibility that it comes to fruition or goes terribly. So it sort of handles both of the common definitions of kunung there. So really well done. So just get a picture of Baldrick that will that will do really well. Whilst we're here, we can do Neng Li as well. Neng Li. It's one of those that's just, it's like one of those super logical words, isn't it? So it's made up of able, power, which means ability. The able power. I do not have the able power to do this. He has the able power to do this. I mean, it just makes sense. So you can put that as a mnemonic there if you like. I would personally get for that, I would to use it like it's real definition. You want to try and be true to the real definition, especially when you choose your image, because it will just help you out long term, right? So for example, Neng Li, like abilities, I would definitely go for superheroes. Superheroes is like such a common thing nowadays. There's like about a million TV shows and movies about superheroes. So just choose your favorite superhero who has the power that you would really want. In fact, if you want a superpower, is literally Chao Neng Li. So which Chao Neng Li would you like? Which super ability, superpower would you like? And just get a picture of a superhero with that. And that'll be more than enough. And then finally here we have Thomas Brand. So Thomas Brand on Vocab Unlocked from Xu, as in Xu Yao. So he says, for the image, one of those old Your Country Needs You posters. Yes. With Lord Kitchener, Uncle Sam, pointing a finger at the viewer. Xu Yao. Yes, that would work very well. And just have a quick look at the characters here. So Xu means need and want. Xu Yao, which means need. Yeah, so I mean, not really much you need to do there, but it might be good to connect to that, like shu yao. Shu yao, maybe connect to the sound. Shu yao. Yao is also in that with the same exact pronunciation, means medicine. And shu is often informal written Chinese is sometimes used on its own to mean shu yao. So you could say shu and yao, right? So he needs some medicine. So that's just another way of remembering that pronunciation and the character connection there. So it was a good thing to try and do if you can, but don't spend like 5-10 minutes trying to do it. If you can't, after like 30 seconds to a minute, then just don't, just move on and you can come back to it later. Remember, with these word connections, you'll always have many chances to see it and make your flashcard better with every single review, okay? So that's all we got for today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that was helpful for you. And I will see you in the next podcast in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.